Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites! Welcome back to our 26th show of the year, 2015, 43 in all. 43. We've done 43 shows.
Oh my God. At
43.
52, that makes a year.
Yeah, you're so good at this.
I'm
calendars, you guys.
She does
calendars.
Yeah.
I've now done more than Matt Cook.
How's that feel good?
I love you, Matt Cook.
We all love Matt Cook.
But it feels good.
But it does feel good, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're more of a host than Matt Cook ever was.
Matt
Cook, no, for real, come back to us.
This is
conflicting emotions.
I don't like this. Let's move on.
Let's move on. We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Yeah?
Yeah. Very exciting today.
Very. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network. That is / Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube. Or you can find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, or on Facebook / Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, leave comments. Just try to be nice about it, because we don't respond to negativity.
No.
Nope,
we don't. You do, though, if you are really negative, I will send you a picture of my cat's dirty butt. She's so obese, she can't clean it. So that's how I've started.
Have a good time with that.
That's my ban hammer.
That's some revenge right there.
I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco at M Placco.
I'm Koy Jandreau at Coyjandreau.
He's got imposters.
There's two fake memes.
Yeah, there's a couple fake hams. And we've got special guest April Wallin.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello. What's your Twitter?
April Wallin.
There's an at sign in front of it. Yeah,
I like to keep it simple. Yeah. Try.
She got the no at version. She was like, I started Twitter, so you just type
whatever.
People respond to me.
I'm the first.
Yeah, I was not. That's why I put V in front of mine. I
was like, that was another Matt Key?
Yeah, I was like, at Matt Key. I was like, wait, but I'm the.
I'd be safe until the imposters came to town.
Yeah, because there's no such name
Both
ever in the world as Koy Jandreau.
There's one of one, and yet.
And yes.
I guess I just decided I liked my login for all my user stuff because M Placco. I'm like, because Meredith Placco, that's too long. And I'm like, no, I don't like it. I've been in this weird thing where I want to change my Twitter name, but I don't know what to.
It's
so.
Yeah.
I know.
The only thing I can think to change mine to is April Elvira.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'd like to just be me for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Elvira, why don't you tell our fans a little bit about yourself?
Yes, April Wallin here. I won Search the Next Elvira. I'm not going to say how long ago.
But your Elvira cosplay and everything is dead on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's dead
on. She gave me the outfit. So
wait, did she really? Gosh. I didn't know that.
You were gifted the outfit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she gave me a wig too. Unfortunately, it fell after a few years, so I had to. It's on its second life now. But so. I go around and I do Elvira impersonations. You can book me at your party too.
But it's not. I mean, it's an impersonation, but you're also like the next Elvira. I mean, it's not like you're. You know, anyone can be an impersonator, but it's almost like the torch was passed on to you.
I have the official title and a crown that is tarnishing in my bedroom as we speak.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing!
So cool.
I leave in a little sash somewhere. I don't know where I put it.
I got to moderate her panel at Wizard World in Vegas.
Oh yeah, she's the nicest
Cassandra
lady
Peterson
ever.
Was amazing. She's
so
super
cool.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have anything else going on? I know you're a writer.
I just put out my first anthology novel on Amazon called 13 Offerings, if you like fantasy stuff and fairy tales and tweaks on mythology, then you're going to love it.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're excited I know you're a giant Deadpool fan, so we're going to get to talk about that a little bit later. But first, we've got some Civil War news we're going to talk about. We've got Jessica Jones. We're going to get to talk about Fantastic Four. Yay! But first, we're going to jump over to Sony with some Spider-Man news, where it broke this week that I believe it was Heroic Hollywood, our friends over at Heroic Hollywood, broke the story that Kraven could possibly be Spider-Man's big bad.
Which so makes cool. sense because we've been, that name's been floating around uh-huh. for some time. And also, I think it's, you know, when I was at Disney last, they actually had a Kraven figure Ooh. That they were promoting. And, you know,
testing the audience response. It's mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good first villain. I mean, I think it's a good, like, he would be a Spider-Man's training. He's getting, yeah. you know, going. Because Kraven's just a dude.
Yeah.
He's, like, the most powerful hunter, but he's still, like, you mm-hmm. know, Steve Irwin on steroids.
But, it puts him at a level higher than Peter at that time, which will make it challenging, you know?
My question would be, Kraven always hunted Spider-Man because of Spider-Man's... he was so notorious, like people knew him.
Right. Yeah.
Why would Kraven
go
hunt?
After some kid that is new?
Yeah. Oh, that kid climbs buildings. I'm gonna kill him.
Like, some sort of menace, I assume, in the future. Maybe he will be.
He might possibly be a menace. I'll book him now.
My favorite Kraven arc is the last hunt, and without the black suit, that doesn't work. And you also can't introduce the black suit as Spider-Man's first suit, and you also can't have mm-hmm. Kraven going after Spider-Man's other foes with Malice because you won't have them yet.
There's I think the big. I'm sorry. Let me The big problem with that is that Spider-Man's out of it for 3 of the 6 issues. Like, he's dead. Like, here's our new Spider-Man, but wait, it's actually Kraven for like a good 2/3 of the film, and Spider-Man rises from the dead. Yeah, let's do
cool
that.
Stuff.
Let's do that as our first Spider-Man movie.
Welcome, kids.
So is it official that they're not doing, that they are doing Origin Spider-Man yet again?
It's not an Origin. Yeah. It's not an Origin.
It's like 1 year in.
So would they be able to pick up, like, at a point where where it would make sense to bring Kraven?
Maybe. And, I mean, we know that there's plenty of other source material that they could use beyond Kraven's Last Hunt. That just happens to be the most iconic. Ooh. But
yeah, it's just my favorite.
Yeah, well, it's a great one, even though it's a little weird that it's like, wait, Spider-Man rises from the dead? All right, I guess I'm behind, like, a spider god waking.
He wasn't fully dead.
Whatever.
And again, guys, remember, we are debating what happens in the comics. We know what happens in the films. Yeah. Necessarily aren't the same.
Very true.
So I wonder if it's going to be one of those things that we know Spidey makes a cameo in Civil War.
In Civil War.
Maybe Kraven makes a cameo and they set something up for a reason
That's possible.
Or we get an origin. Maybe we're not getting a Spider-Man origin, but we might get a year one Kraven in the story.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe he becomes a big bad in the second film, because we know that they're doing a trilogy
So they could just be leading up to having him later on.
Well, let me throw out this quote from Heroic Hollywood where it said, Sony's Vice President of Creative Affairs, Karen Moy, recently purchased a copy of Kraven's Last Hunt trade paperback on Amazon. That's it.
Can I just ask how they know that? Like, are they, like, stalking her Amazon account?
Guess is her
wish list. Let's just go through everything.
My guess is that they have someone who works in that office who was like, hey, by the way, on the sly.
That's terrifying.
That is...
Yeah.
Like, someone's, like, looking over their shoulder, like,
what are you buying? Yeah. Oh, Kraven's Last Hunt. Better call Umberto. Hey, buddy, what's up?
Nightcrawler and Blu-ray. Weird choices.
She's just a fan.
No, exactly.
I mean,
like,
maybe,
exactly.
But they've
exactly.
also said that she was buying a bunch of other stuff from, from Spider-Man. Like, all the sorts of different stuff. Yeah. But it's like they kind of decided to land on Kraven. Maybe she bought more of that
She could be gifting it to a Spider-Man fan for all we
know. I know, right?
Like,
she's going to actually go visit some children at a hospital and give them some comics.
But they did say that this has been a precedent that Amy Pascal started, that she would order for her, whatever. So it's possible. Certainly they're looking into Kraven, but I would also imagine they're looking into Mysterio and into Vulture and into Sant. Like, they're looking into all of them. It's really not, to me, it's not total news.
But it's exciting.
It is.
I think the idea of Kraven is exciting. I don't know, like, the execution, because I liked in the Ultimates where he was, like, a reality TV star that wasn't taken seriously.
Yeah.
I would love, like, drunk Jerry Butler to play that. Like, can you imagine, like, now past 300 prime, like, Jerry Butler, like, as a reality TV Kraven?
That would be amazing.
Fantastic.
That would be amazing. Well, let's leave Spider-Man behind unless there's anything else you guys want to say.
Who would you like for a good Kraven?
Gerard Butler would be great.
Oh, you like him as serious?
Yeah, I
think
that's great. I actually love that.
I can't see him as serious Kraven.
What about Ben Foster? Would he be a good Kraven?
Oh, my God.
Actually, I will admit he would not be a good Kraven.
Spider-Man, sir.
I will choose character integrity over my love of Foster.
Wow.
With Spider-Man alone.
That's impressive.
Amazing.
Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy would be fantastic.
Great. Right? He'd be good. Hey, I actually fan-casted.
Yeah, that was a great
one. There you go. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. I'm notoriously bad at fan-casting, so
that's
on the spot.
You did good.
If I have, like, an hour to research it, I can do it, but... not on the spot.
That kid that plays Hannibal. He'd be good. On the Hannibal show?
Oh.
Oh.
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yeah.
No, he's...
I don't see it.
He's too mind screwy. I don't see...
Oh, okay. Somebody a little more like...
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Who has got that like, I'm gonna come get you. You gotta be like physically afraid of them, I would think.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean? Especially if that's like their main focus is hunting. It's like,
exactly.
So you see that person, you're just like, oh.
Oh. All right. Well, let's move on. Yes.
Well,
yes,
actually, I want to address a fan thing from About Spider-Man. So the Geek Knight N7 tweeted at us and so he's saying if Spider-Man can make web shooters, and why can't he make a professional looking costume? And I kind of want to address that as the costume designer, you know, here. Making cool tech is one thing. Making, like, a fully sewn suit is a different skill set altogether. Like, I can sew a suit. I could probably make a rubberized Spider-Man suit, given the right materials. Am I going to be able to develop actual web shooters? No. Yeah. It's a completely different skill set.
Completely different.
You know, it's you're taking... One thing is tech, another is fashion. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you know how to screw some bolts in doesn't mean you know how to operate a sewing machine. So
and
I
vice
think,
versa.
Yeah. So I think that's why I don't think we're going to see a super high end Spider-Man costume off the bat, because he doesn't have the money or the resources to go full rubberized Spidey first. I think we're going to see like an adaptation of like the hoodie and you know something a little bit more low key.
Yeah,
even though they're a year in already with it.
I think because it takes some time.
Unless
we see like a really cute montage of him learning to sew.
Which in Spider-Man I wouldn't put it past them.
But we're not going to see that in Civil War, which is where we're going to see him first.
Yeah.
So probably in Civil War we'll see like a pretty toned down, like doing his best to hide his identity sort of thing, and then he'll meet Stark, they'll become friends, and Stark will help him build it, or someone will help him build a suit for himself. Though, fingers crossed, they don't use the whole Iron Spider for the trilogy,
I don't think they will. I don't want the Iron Spider.
So,
but it would be not in the beginning.
So, all right. Let's move on to Civil War now.
Yes.
We're with Marvel now. Not Ms. Marvel. That's a little bit later. Let's just actually talk about the dorky fight scene for Spider-Man. So,
it's gotta be dorky.
Yeah,
it's
Spider-Man.
Website called Birth Movies Death apparently has found out that Spider-Man has a little bit more of a cameo in Civil War.
Roger.
That Tom Holland himself only has a cameo, but Spider-Man as Spider-Man, all he has to do is do the voiceover stuff. Because a lot of people were like, wait, Civil War is like into filming when you're casting Tom Holland as Spider-Man, like, so he can only have a cameo. But no, they've got stuntmen, they've got CGI, he's in a suit the whole time. You don't see
all
his face.
All the produce is done, then dive in. Yeah.
So I think it's very possible that we'll have Spider-Man actually in fight scenes. And one of the quote that Birth Movies Death said was, he fights, and his fight scene might be the one that really gets fandom excited. Not because of how top-tier the face-off will be, but because of how profoundly dorky and unlike any other big-screen superhero fight will be.
I think that'll be great, honestly, because
he's not a fighter.
Well, and you have everybody else that is a fighter. Like, in Civil War, it's going to be nothing but professional, fights and, choreographed.
And
like,
everyone's
this stuff.
So
Like, everybody's so cool about it. They all have military backgrounds and stuff, or they have, like, supersonic blasts or whatever to, like, put off. So, you just have Spider-Man who's just like, I flip around, I crawl on walls, eat webs.
I'm just trying to keep up, guys.
Well, and he's got a spider sense, so he knows something.
He knows
a punch is coming or a laser blast is coming. He's like, oh God. And then he jumps and he jumps and he jumps, and then he finds a window to land a punch or two, and then he's flipping around again. So,
and
like,
he's an actual kid now, so I'd love a little flying Spidey.
I'm skeptical because it's a site I've never heard of.
It used to be another site. It just changed. It's a well-known site.
Okay.
It just changed the name like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. But also, I don't, from what I know of Civil War, I don't see where they would even edge in more Spider-Man. I think we're going to get a cameo, and I wouldn't get our hopes up for anything more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're going to have lots of him fighting. But I do think there are, I could see where they could squeeze him in some way.
And we know Holland was already, he already shot a scene for it. And I could even see them doing a non-full Spider-Man suit with Holland doing a dorky fight scene with whatever is happening in the grand scope of Civil War, that he is caught in a smaller, minor battle involved. So I can see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, if he's in New York and New York's coming under attack and he's like just trying to save people, like keep himself safe or whatever else, and he just got these powers. Yeah, I could see that. So speaking of Civil War still, Ruffalo appears to be in Civil War now, maybe. Yeah. Like a lot of the rumors have been around that he will be. And now a German newspaper called Bild quoted, since this week, U.S. superstars Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, and Anthony Mackie, along with fellow actor Daniel Brühl, are shooting the third part of Captain America in Berlin. I don't think that they have confirmation that he was actually on set. The only confirmation I know of was that he was at a party in Berlin.
Which, wouldn't you go?
Yeah. Like, and for all we know, like, Ruffalo was over there for a thousand other reasons and was like, hey, may as well go party. Friends. Yeah, you know, so we don't have this is still not confirmation. It's just him being seen with the people who happen to be filming
that
a scene
that he hangs out with probably a lot.
I would think it'd be awesome if Marvel's like, hey, go to this party to get people talking.
Oh, man.
Right?
And they would totally, they would troll us.
Yeah, they would.
Hey, we're talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Xavier was on set of Apocalypse. We don't know that he's in it. He was just visiting his buddy.
He was just visiting.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
He was like, I think he was there filming something else. And he was like, oh, I happen to be in town. Let's. Why don't I come by?
I've actually been on a lot of sets.
Good
Patrick. Phenomenal, right? Phenomenal. I'm very good at impressions.
You should just do that for a living. Go on Hollywood and do a Patrick Stewart.
I used to do that. Okay,
you used to do Patrick Stewart impressions.
No, I didn't. No, I used
to go. You're amazing.
I shaved my head and everything. Actually, I did, but not for that.
You were Moondragon.
Yes, I was totally Moondragon. Yep. That would be awesome.
Let's move over to Doctor Strange.
We're going to be talking about Doctor Strange every week until the movie comes out.
Look, news came out and it needs to be addressed.
It did.
News came out and we had a lot of fans tweeting at me.
I was so excited. It was so sweet.
I'm excited.
You guys are so nice to Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being nice to me because I don't get that here at all. I get made fun of for my love of Doctor Strange. And you just wait. You just wait.
It's going to be amazing, dude.
Oh,
it's
going to
blow
excited.
You all away. It's going to be amazing. It's their Fantasia.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be like, Matt, please tell us more. Tell us more about your...
Please tell us more. Please,
news?
Yes.
About your Doctor Strange.
And can I just say also to all the fans who tweeted me and say like that they didn't really... They weren't too familiar with Doctor Strange until they started watching the show and now they like him.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you. There's like so much validation.
I was
going to
say
that.
That's like he's finally validated.
Finally,
finally, me like getting made fun of in high school for having Defenders books in my Trapper Keeper is paying off in giant ways. So first of all, we've got cinematographer Ben Davis was at a lecture this week. I can't remember what it was, or, some master class of some sort over in London. And he talked about the movie, and he says it has a very psychedelic grounding, and it's not your typical Marvel action movie. Most of the work within it is about other dimensions. And I described it, I think, when I was talking to Marvel as Marvel's Fantasia, because it's so out there and so different to everything else that's been done. So,
yeah, influenced by M.C. Escher. Like, yeah. I'm excited about
like,
that.
I cannot wait to see how they play with Doctor Strange tripping through infinite dimensions and, like, seeing other versions of himself and, like, other creatures.
Like, Ditko art translated to screen.
Oh my God.
It's everything I wanted Fantastic
God.
Four to be, but we'll get there.
Not there yet.
It's a little bit later. Yeah. It's a little bit later. Like, another 20 minutes.
Because it's so awesome, too, because, I mean, I'm so excited because this weekend is D23, which is the big Disney Expo, and Saturday is their live-action panel, so we're going to get Star Wars, and we're going to get Marvel stuff.
Wait,
and
is that this weekend?
Next weekend, I'm
sorry. Yeah, I was like, wait, I thought it was next weekend.
It is next weekend, whenever LOJ is. Yeah. But they had an event in Africa this week, Disney Africa, where I guess there was some unveiling of Doctor Strange's new costume. We've got to see the concept art. Well, people got to see the concept art. And someone tweeted a really blurry photo from the screen, and now I can't find it. I saved it to show you, and now it's gone. So I think it got deleted. And
how dare you?
I know.
Well, and a fan tweeted at me earlier, like, some concept art.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it in time because I'd just seen it. But
it looked like the blurry, but I don't want to say because it was from 2014 and the signature. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Anyway, but we do have a couple tweets from that event saying Doctor Strange looks very dark. as in scraping the edge of horror movie dark.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So Nick Cohen, at White Noise, spelled with a Y and a Z. His costume isn't too colorful from what I remember. Robes are blood red and green, and cap is black. I don't understand why he has a cap.
Cape.
Oh, cape.
It says, cap. I was, and I was like, oh, he's just like, he's got his driver's uniform on. That's fine.
Yeah. I was like, wait, he's got a cap? Hello, I'm Dr. Strange. Hello. Where are you going there?
Easy, Sherlock. You left that show. You're here now. Yeah. Come on, Benedict. Get back to focus.
Well, we haven't heard him do Cockney, so I mean, you know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe one of the alternate universe strangers will do a Cockney. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Open the door. Let's go. Dap, dap, dap.
I'm just going.
Yeah, that's my Doctor Strange impression.
Perfect.
Yeah. Or Host of August and all that. All right, let's go. Come some Benzosiderac. All
episode
right.
Episode 42 is just Matt doing impressions. Every segment we have is just like, who will I be in that?
Who will I be?
Okay, we legit know enough friends that do weird sketch videos. Can somebody please direct a video of you doing that?
Of me being
Matt
like,
G, yes. Dr. Strange.
Yeah. Or no, just you doing Cockney Dr. Strange.
Yeah.
I want
Strange.
That so bad. I will watch through you, a YouTube ad to watch that
that's
video.
Your next mission.
I went to Batum and all that. All right, let's go.
You need to like perpetually have like a cup of tea with like several like tea bags like hanging out of it.
Oh, all right. Hello.
And you need like a wool plaid suit or something.
And like to have like chimney ash all over my face. Yeah. So
to
anyway,
all our British listeners,
who are like, we're hating us.
Racist
stereotypes. You're welcome.
Hey, I was raised by wild Brits. I get a pass on this.
Wild Brits.
And I watched Mary Poppins. I know how Cockney people are.
I still spell color with the U and people yell
I spell
at me.
Theater T-R-E.
Yeah. I know they're like,
so
you're pretentious.
Spell checks me, and I'm like, no.
I know.
That's
everyone's
the way
like,
it's spelled.
You're so
and gray is with an E.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
That's just the way the world is.
And people are like, you're so pretentious, Meredith. I'm like, no, this is how I learned to spell.
No, I'm proper.
And there is an H in herbs.
There is.
There
okay.
is. There is. So anyway, like, it's not a lot of news. We all kind of already knew that, but it is still exciting
awesome.
To know about, like,
it's
just
coming.
How close to the horror sort of genre that they're going with it, and how trippy it's going to be. Like, trippy horror film, on board.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Steve, like, Steve Ditko, I keep going back to, like, the images of his early comics on screen, if they do it even close to that, is going to be the most surreal experience we've ever had.
Well,
like,
did you see the that one guy did, like, the opening credits to Doctor Strange a couple weeks ago? And, like, he just, like, took old stills from the comics and like made him 3D and kind of made him move.
That's already enough.
So awesome.
And like he brought Dormammu's like flames to life, and like that to me perfectly encapsulates why I love Doctor Strange so much, because it's like Captain America is like, I'm gonna throw my shield at the Red Skull, ho ho, and like Iron Man's like, take this Crimson Dynamo, and then there's Doctor Strange in a whole other freaking dimension, like, hello, giant flaming head demon, let me attack you. Like,
and, like, all the colors and craziness that goes along with that world. Because you're already in that world, you're like, let's make it wonky.
Let's
Fantastic Four.
Let's freaking go for it.
Like, Fantastic Four and him both have that same, like, it should feel like an acid trip, and instead Fantastic Four looks like it's a day after doing too much Molly trip. Like, it's just, like, I'm out of serotonin, I really need to, like, deal with this.
Not that we know how that works.
Alone.
I need to lay down and have some vitamin C.
I'm not saying that I want a mushroom journey through Doctor Strange. I'm just saying that drugs are fun.
All right. Well, let's let's move on to television on that note. Very quickly. So John Ridley talked about how, remember a couple weeks ago how he said he had a TV show with Marvel and ABC in development. We don't know what it is. A lot of people were like, oh, it's going to be Ms. Marvel. A lot of people thought it might be Blade or Cloak and Dagger or a spinoff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that features Deathlok.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
John Ridley said it's none of those.
So we know what it's not.
But he said it's absolutely not. He said, not to be arcane, but the rumors are truly off the mark. In a fun way, I'm just glad to be a part of the conversation. The only thing I can say about it is that I'm really in love with that project. So, not a lot of news there, but we do now know, we should not be expecting Kamala Khan to be on our TVs anytime soon.
No.
I'm disappointed. But I feel that Marvel knows they've got such a hot thing with Kamala right now that they're holding on for something big.
They'll do something with her eventually. At the very least, they'll give her like an awesome cartoon. Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh,
like
I would actually.
XD.
I feel like she would do great in a cartoon form.
Oh,
because
she'd be great.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that would be hard to translate for television, given how much special effects.
Yeah.
So I would. Yeah. I'd love
the budget
that.
Would have to be crazy, or it'd look like early Smallville.
You know. Yeah. And I know we didn't talk about, because we don't talk a lot about the cartoons, but the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love them.
Yeah, the Guardians of the Galaxy intro that they posted a couple weeks ago is really awesome. I'm really looking forward to a lot of that.
So let's because I want to get to Deadpool, so let's jump over to the Netflix.
Okay. Okay.
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Purple Man. So on Jessica Jones, the Television Association, whatever
Television Critics Association.
Thank you for that. Melissa Rosenberg and Jeff Loeb, who are both working on the show, had some quotes. I just want to run through them real quick. On Kristen Ritter, Rosenberg said, she goes to very dark emotional places. We beat the crap out of her. You really get to see her strength of character, not in a noble way necessarily, but she's a tough broad. Not news, but cool talking point. Yeah. Like, and that's exactly that character. Like, she takes the abuse and she's like, no, she continues to stand up to it. So on Kilgrave, this is what kind of excited me. Was that Jeff Loeb said, in the same way that Vincent D'Onofrio owned his half of Daredevil, you'll see David Tennant own his half of Jessica Jones. You're continually finding this incredible balance. And he also hinted that, and I don't know how this is possible with Purple Man, he hinted that we will be able to empathize with him the way that we did with Wilson Fisk.
Well, you didn't expect to empathize with Wilson Fisk, either.
No, you didn't.
And then you just saw it, you're just like, whoa.
Oh, this poor man.
Awesome.
Like, how awkward he was. Yeah. And, oh, my God.
It's like they took kind of a lame bad guy from the comics and made him incredibly dark and incredibly...
They gave him a lot of depth. Like, a lot of depth.
So much depth.
That was amazing.
But Purple Man, like, you know what? I can rationalize empathizing with Fisk. Purple Man is going to be a tough one. And if they can sell that, you know, I'm going to be impressed. And I love that Netflix allows them to do this.
Yeah.
Like the venue, not like Netflix says, we greenlight you, but the 13 stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also, Loeb talked about Mike Coulter's Luke Cage, saying it would not be Jessica Jones unless you at least understood how Luke affected her life and where she is. So we catch him early in the middle part of his journey, but we don't see his origin. They're holding on to that stuff for his actual series.
Yeah.
So where he came from, and most importantly, where he's going is what his series is about. That's the quote there. And then lastly, on Patsy Trish Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, Rosenberg talked about the kind of character she wanted Jessica Jones to be friends with, and that it was important that there was somebody in her life who made it look easy, but not necessarily felt that way.
Yeah.
He also said that they put a unique spin on her being a model who in the comics, what's that?
Then a child actor too, or something? They mentioned
something like that. Yeah. Like, so in the like, comics, Patsy Walker was actually a romance comic in the '50s. This is actually one of my favorite sort of like weird like sort of retconning of a story. So they had Patsy Walker, they bring her forward into the future, and they say that Patsy Walker's mother wrote those comics about her daughter Patsy Walker. Which I love. So it's like almost like this weird meta thing where it's like, oh, we're reading the comics that existed in the 616 universe.
Yeah. That's cool.
About Patsy Walker, who then grew up in love with all the superheroes around her.
Yeah.
And like she met Beast and whatever else and went and became a superhero, like, you know.
Which is nice.
Like
that, they could have
like
easily just
like Daredevil. Yeah.
They could have just easily swept that under the carpet, but they decided to embrace it and make it part of the character. Yeah. Which
it's
I
so
love.
Cool. That's so cool.
If you could find a creative way to do that, do it.
So
awesome.
Anyway, she was like a child actor and a model and like kind of renowned for these Patsy Walker romance comics that her mother wrote. So it sounds like they're going to try and do something with that in the series, which is really cool too. So
I would love if they had a way to bring Kingpin into Spider-Man. Just thinking about Kingpin.
D'Onofrio?
I'm sure.
Because he was introduced on Spider-Man. He was a Spider-Man bad guy. Yep. And then he went over to Daredevil and became like his big bad. But that'd be amazing if they could tie like that nod into the world.
Yeah.
Because Punisher and Kingpin are both Spidey baddies. So that'd be awesome.
I feel they can, even if they don't. And well, D'Onofrio definitely has the chops to make it on the big screen.
Oh,
so they can bring him in. But I feel like they can use him in a way of like one of those minor characters that drives a story.
Yeah,
in
but
Spider-Man.
Have him
like,
just like in a scene or just tie in the world or like run a mafia scene and have a bunch of big bads in it. And like henchmen or like henchmen level characters like Hammerhead and Shocker and like Sandman, like those guys as run by Kingpin.
That'd
be an amazing way to tie it all in, because I love Kingpin.
I wonder if his contracts allows for films, because we know some
other.
I hope too. That'd be awesome.
And they constantly talk about the fact that they would like to be able to figure out how to do the crossover stuff, especially with the
and
Netflix
he'd be the perfect
stuff.
Character for it. Him and Punisher are great to transfer back and forth, because they're street
they
level
so
and
much.
They're also big bad. So it would work to both universes.
Yeah,
be exciting.
So let's jump over to. Is there anything else we want to talk about with Netflix before we jump over to Fox?
Nope, we're good.
Thank you, Netflix.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Right? Thank you, Netflix.
Thank you, Netflix.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hashtag thanks, Netflix. So in Gambit news.
Finally, it's all.
There's the picture.
Exhausting.
Right?
He's back.
No, that's...
That's your
the picture that I will always use.
Yeah. I saw that in the breakdown. I'm like,
Dearest,
it's your cat spirit.
Yeah, it is. Dearest Marvel movie news, Marvelites, Merry Marvelites, if someone will Photoshop this picture into a Gambit photo, I will love you forever, and we'll put it on the air next week.
Well, you just put a jacket. You can only put the jacket on.
Exactly.
There.
You can't,
but you like,
have
cover
to keep, the
torso.
Have to keep the abs, yeah.
Or just him in, like, the tunnels with the Morlocks.
You know what? Add some playing cards. I don't care.
I just love Morlocks.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to keep the bow tie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to keep the bow tie. Yeah.
Basically, no, I want Gigolo Gambit. That's what I want.
Maybe I'll be part of his arc. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is so funny because I can't see that picture without thinking, like, meow. Like, I see I imagine Channing Tatum sitting there going, meow.
Aww.
And I'm pretty sure you're the only one.
Yeah,
but that's
probably
awesome.
So. Probably so. Anyway, he's Gambit. Like, he's confirmed to be Gambit. Everything got worked out. He will be Remy LeBeau. So
I'm so
or
excited.
Because
I was so upset that week was so exhausting.
I'm like, PR stunt. PR
it's
stunt.
It's a great one.
Yep.
Oh, I know. I saw him working in Hall H. Mm-hmm. I saw him backstage.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, oh, they are actually. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like, I was just like, all right. Like, he's all
that's
sitting there
so
with a
cool.
Sully stick, like, playing on the mic. I'm like,
I think they had to make up some drama because they didn't want anyone talking about Fantastic Four.
Well, they mentioned also, like, from what I read with the, you know, the drama with the contracts and stuff was, like, you know, same thing they did with Chris Evans, which was the whole, like, you know, well, you're kind of signing on for X
a
amount
lot.
Of movies,
yep.
So it's kind of like, hey, we own you cinematically, you know, for X amount of time, just FYI, that,
just,
you know, so if you want to do anything else, sorry.
Well, the only reason
so
he
I understand,
did G.I. Joe 2 is because of the contract. Like, he found out, he had done a
so
bunch
there's
of,
scars
like,
there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he was just a little gun-shy because he had done a bunch of amazing movies. G.I. Joe happened, and then later on they called him like, hey, you have to do G.I. Joe 2, and he was like, no, yes, and that's why he was in it for like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
He, I mean, I can't imagine what kind of stress that would be to be a, be a good actor and then be like, oh, we own you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's terrifying, so I get it.
It's like a weird rehashing of the studio system. Like, they found a way to beat
to like somehow
like,
be like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Anyway, let's jump over to X-Men. Just in general, no Apocalypse news this week. There's a really cool picture of Storm in Cairo and everything, but you can look that up on your own. James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender might have extended their X-Men contracts.
I love those guys.
Yes.
So Heroic Hollywood reported on that also. It's not confirmed, but apparently there was a meeting over the weekend where they confirmed they're in talks to extend their contracts. So
we're losing so much money on this movie coming out next week. We will give you guys more money to keep coming back. It all
they're
ties
so
in.
Good,
it all ties in, guys.
I'm so happy that they might
I know.
It really kind of.
It really does.
I mean, you
sadly.
Think on both sides, they'd be like, hey, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, it's just, I think the conversation would be pretty simple. It's like, duh.
Yeah, duh.
They seem to have so much fun in the press tours. Mm-hmm. They seem to like really be like real life romance. And
oh, they're
whole,
hilarious
the
to watch.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and James McAvoy, talk about...
He's a live wire.
Like, oh my God, at Hall H, he killed me. Like, when he was talking about the Frankenstein film that Landis wrote. Oh my God. We just like to build trucks and be good... Or build monsters and be good Christians. Like, oh my God, he killed me. He was so funny. That's exciting.
Yay.
And I love their portrayal of the characters. Mm-hmm. I think they do a great job.
I just
have
to get rid of the heroin subplot. That bulk for
yeah.
That was my biggest problem with Days of Future Past was like, hey, he can walk because he's a junkie. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the amazing end of Days of Future Past. I mean, of the of X-Men First Class, where they're like, that's an amazing way to tie in that arc and don't have to have the Savage Land. You have this bullet. It's beautiful. And then they're just like, let's ignore that good bit of writing.
I know, they should have just made it the mutant growth hormone, because that would have been a great subplot for
something else. That's a Lang Easter egg. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. But what did
why
they do?
Didn't they do that?
I don't, because I didn't have any input
Meredith.
On the script.
Meredith, get in there.
I know,
give input.
Right?
Get in the writing
Come on,
room,
Fox. I won't work for your news division, but I'll work for your X-Men division.
Unbelievable. I can't
Start
believe
the
you.
Three times
Meredith, I can't believe
job.
You.
No, for Fox.
Real quick, the X-Men TV series is closer to a reality. They spoke with a Hollywood Reporter, I believe, at the Critics Association thing.
CCA.
X-Men, we're in negotiations with Marvel. We're hopeful that some will be able to announce something soon. We're not closed on a deal yet, but it's something we're definitely pursuing, and that's from Fox Television Group Chairman and CEO Dana Walden.
You know what makes me happy? They're talking to Marvel. Like, we are having conversations, words, not throwing poop at each other.
I love that. Yeah. The Sony thing really broke ground. Yeah. The Sony Marvel thing happening. Because that's revolutionary in any studio system, mm-hmm. much less this giant of one. So I'm glad Fox is like, well, maybe we should talk to him.
Well, and Fantastic Four might twist their arm a little bit more.
I'm saving on my
page. Do you think Fox sent Marvel like one of those fruit baskets with the chocolate covered pineapples on them?
I think after said, this, I'm sorry. The Sony thing,
I'm sorry.
The boss is like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. You had a chance to talk to them and you didn't. You do that now.
Go do that.
I would love to have someone at Marvel that knows the comics really well involved, because X-Men are perfect for serialized TV. There's so many characters. It's so deep, the like 60 years of continuity with 10 titles.
Well, the cartoon went forever.
There's no end of options to do. So I think they could make a show better than the movies, and they could actually make it more X-Men-like. I've been very vocal in the fact that I love Bryan Singer's mutant movies. I don't think Bryan Singer's ever made an X-Men movie. I would love a good X-Men show. I think Bryan Singer makes great films. I love the X-Men movies, but I'd love to see a true X-Men show.
Yeah, like X-Men. Like
Kitty
Pryde's
not sending Wolverine back through time in my show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'd be amazing. I think they have a lot of potential, and I love that Fox is open to Marvel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Fox.
Well, at least the television divisions are trying to work together. Yeah.
And once again, we have that Fox weird divide film, between Fox, between film and TV, like DC has. So I hope that TV is more like.
Do you think we'll get like our X-Men as we know them? Because with seeing them in the films, are they going to want to. Stick with the TV show.
I think they'll have probably a different team because we're now finally getting a first-class-esque team in the movies. Yeah. I don't think they'll have multiple continuity.
I think they'll do X-Factor investigations. Oh my god.
I don't think it makes sense to have like two Jean Greys, two Cyclops. Yeah.
Why would you?
DC's doing that. It's a little confusing.
And it's not fun for the fans that are casual fans because it's really alienating.
It is.
Yeah.
So I hope they go with really cool mutants because they have hundreds and they just make a really smart show.
Now, would you want... Oh, sorry, April.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's kind of like a roulette. It's like, who do you want to go with?
There's so many X-Men that are never going to get the time of day in a movie because there's like so much Hugh Jackman time to come.
It's true. Now, would you want to see an X-Factor Investigations or like a more crazy X-Force?
X-Force would be like R-rated. So if Netflix was doing a show, I would love an X-Force show with Cable leading Deadpool running around Netflix. That's something I'll only ever have as a dream because I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah.
But as a show, I think X-Factor is more conducive to mainstream television.
Yeah, X-Factor would be better for like a primetime sort of show.
Because you could have a detective show, you could have an action show, you could have your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
show. You
could
even have like a, some courtroom drama. I wouldn't want so much, but...
But you could have a lot of flavors. Whereas R-rated is one flavor.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, who would your dream cast be for that? Not actors, but
mutants.
Which mutant, which characters?
Well, X-Factor. I would love to see Strong Guy. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Siren. I would kill to see Multiple Man.
Well, Mavericks would have to lead it.
Version of X-Factor. It's Multiple Man.
And I mean, talk about like a relatively easy effect. Like, just
it's camera edits. It's almost
Well, they do it with
Orphan Black.
Orphan Black, so they can. You know?
Well, I mean, was Rogue ever a part of the team?
No, Jean joined for a bit.
I keep looking for a way for them to get Rogue back in the game because it's like she's just like in the movies for like little blips and like, I want the Rogue I know. Like,
I don't think they're using Rogue in the new Bryan Singer phase two, so to speak. So they can use Rogue in the show.
Yeah, I would love to see him use, and that's another power that's relatively easy to use unless you give her the whole like Ms. Marvel, like
The full stolen
power, which I would love to see in a movie, but if they put it on TV, like I'd be okay with her just like stealing power. From people periodically, like she's still like that. Multiple Man's powers, like, and she could multiply now. That would be amazing.
And they're already going into like alternate like universes of stuff with Days of Future Past and stuff. I mean, why not? I mean,
it's gonna have to be huge, or the movie's gonna, or the show's gonna look awful. Yeah. The budget's gonna have to be crazy. Generation
CW
X
can get away with it.
Generation X is so much fun. That remember that made for TV movie?
Oh
that
my
thing
god,
is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But every dollar was like, oh no, we need that dollar.
They would need a bigger budget than let's say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has.
Yeah,
very fair. So Star Trek 3 screenwriters Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne are working on that along with Evan Katz and Manny Coto as the showrunners, and they did 24. There's a lot of good giant names behind it. There's a lot of people, so my money is on X-Factor.
Yeah, that's with that kind of team, you would
that's
think.
That's been rumored before, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the only other thing that I could possibly see them doing would be like a new mutants sort of thing, like a new school of some sort, if they wanted to try and get into a bit...
Emma Frost.
lost. Not well, yeah, January.
Generation X work. Like Generation X as another thing would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I could see them doing something like that too. But X Factor is
Robert Pattinson is Chamber.
Oh, okay.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
It's got the accent, got the mask, got the charisma, got the draw.
Yeah.
Chamber. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm down.
All right.
I'm down. So let's talk about Fantastic Four real quick.
All right, let's do this.
So first of all, I don't have the exact quote, but earlier this week, Miles Teller defended the movie.
Of course he did.
As he's contractually obligated to do.
Yeah. Simon Kinberg did the same thing. In fact, I think the way Teller said it was, look, the critics are going to hate it, but it's still a good movie.
Yeah, seriously. It seemed more, honestly, more like an apology than an actual, like defense.
Fox is totally, like, doing damage control already.
Let's see, guys. Let's check the latest Rotten Tomato score on it. We are at, let me go back from some Dr.
This
Strange.
Is so bad.
We are at the tomato meter, 10%. It's actually been going down since this morning.
Going down from 17%.
But 96% want to see it.
Number goes down.
People are going to go see it. That's the interesting thing.
I'm going to pay to go see it tomorrow. Like, I'm going to. But
if you're watching this, Fox, I'm going to buy a ticket to another movie and sneak in.
Wow.
Just so that you don't get the money from
it. Let the record show, I'm going to see Deadpool 9 times. So you'll get your money, just not Fantastic Four money.
This is one of those issues I have because, yes, we work as a critic commentary group. We did not get invited to any screenings. It is kind of our jobly obligation to go see this movie, but we have to do it out of our own pocket. And I don't like to support things with money that I don't believe in.
Yeah.
So I'm very conflicted about this because I know I need to watch it to be able to talk about it, but I don't want to give them money for this.
Yeah, this is like akin to paying for a Scientology summit to me.
It really is.
Like, this is really going
to
hurt
me. You've never been to a Scientology summit?
You know, it's I'm trying.
Maybe.
I got so many Thetans in me.
Maybe if they were going to show Fantastic Four at one of the Scientology centers, then I can just go kill two birds with
one
stone.
Maybe it would make more sense in that environment.
Yeah.
Like a double feature with, like, some other movie that you need to watch that you don't want to.
Battlefield Earth and Fantastic Four at the Celebrity Center Saturday night.
Together again, just like you wanted. You demanded it, we gave.
John Travolta and Miles Teller just sunk it. What's going on? I can't believe, like, we gave, our estimations last week. I was saying, like, the 15% range.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we might have a single-digit Rotten Tomato score on this. Like, I know. I've thought from the beginning it looked bad, but I was really hoping I was wrong. And now that the reviews are coming out and they're aggressively bad, I've never read so many people use so many different synonyms for awful. Like, it's like these reviewers are so stoked to get their thesauruses out and be like, that guy said abysmal. I'm going to say horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah. It's horrific. Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Now, I'll say, like, I read some tweets from some non-industry people who saw it and said, it's fun. It's really great. We really love it. And then I think the more realistic, a couple of my buddies over at like IGN and stuff who saw it said, it's mediocre at best.
Yeah. Like, the third act falls apart in such a major way.
And I think what happens is it's so very obvious where Josh Trank had control of the movie and where it was taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been told, is that it looks like it was directed by two different people.
Yeah. That's
like
what
I've
heard, too.
There's a certain part where it just, like, flips.
I just worry that Josh Trank never had control. Like, I feel like his... Chronicle's great, but Chronicle was Max and Josh Trank. That was two very, very intelligent, very strong, very, like, that's a very... And it's a smaller movie,
less...
So much more control all around. Yeah. So I feel like him going from, like, a movie that's a commentary on superhero movies to a superhero movie must have been like, don't get to say yellow or blue. Like,
now, did Max ever have... we're discussing Max Landis, writer. Did he ever have a chance to work on Fantastic Four with this, or was that not ever...
If you go on Max's Twitter, he has an amazing pitch for Fantastic Four.
Really?
I mean, I don't want to speak out of place. I know that his script for Fantastic Four, I don't want to talk about except for what he's tweeted, because I don't want to speak out of place.
Mm-hmm. I was actually referring to his tweets, but
awesome.
Just you know him.
Go
so.
To his Twitter, and his stuff is great, and that way I'm not getting in trouble.
Up to my knees.
Check out Add Up to My Knees, his Fantastic Four idea. Even like the idea of them being called the Fantastic Four is because the ship's called the Fantastic, so the media dubs them Fantastic Four.
That's so cute. That's so adorable.
It's, so
it's
great.
Already
yeah.
in the right genre more than this is.
You need to, he should come on.
Yeah, we'll get Max at some point.
Yeah.
Sorry, one of our fans tweeted. One of our fans saw Fantastic Four.
They
tweeted me their thoughts to me, so I'm trying to find that real quick.
But everyone tweet at Max. Tell him to drive to the valley.
Yeah, and I do apologize to all of our fans that wanted us to go see it. We just couldn't get into any.
There were no screenings.
It was, you know, as we said last week, it was really tight, and apparently, as always, we're not cool enough to get into.
And I'm not here next week, fans. So you will get my rage a week late. It will have stewed. Boy. It will have boiled. It will have festered and it will be real.
Take a video and we'll put it in. Let's just drop a video.
I'll just
walk
out of the theater and just film and be like, live rage.
So angry the camera's shaking.
Yeah, if we can get Max to drive an hour up into the valley, we'll get him on the show and we'll have him talk all sorts of comic stuff.
Oh, man. Max is. He scares me with how smart he is.
I love you, Max.
He is.
It was his birthday Monday. Happy birthday.
I know.
Yeah.
He went to the zoo and stuff.
I only know him from parties and where he inadvertently runs me over. I always tend to be in front of someone he knows and wants to hug. And so I just get, like, I just, I'm like,
hey, how's it going?
Hey.
And
I'm
like, okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know you. It's okay. But I'm like, at least you didn't crush me this
time. I'm
really
curious what Josh does next after this. The trajectory of, like, Chronicle to, like, 90%, 10%. Like, if you add their scores together, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious where Fantastic Four goes. I'm curious how it affects the bubble. Like, everybody's talking about the comic bubble bursting. I'm really curious how this affects the genre in general. And Fox, because the Deadpool trailer has been watched 8 million times in 24 hours. They might make more off their YouTube hits on the Deadpool trailer than they will on Fantastic Four, and that would make me so happy.
Yeah.
In a world like where I control monetary things, Deadpool wins open weekend on YouTube.
Wow.
Like, that's amazing. Yeah. That's killing it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, the Deadpool. We're going to get to that in one second.
After Rage.
Did you find your quote?
I didn't. Aww. It's far too down. But Fantastic Four or Fox is hedging their bets with Kitten. So remember they were saying like, oh yeah, Fantastic Four and X-Men are going to exist in the same universe. It's going to happen. Kinberg just today said, no, they exist in parallel universes. The Fantastic Four live in a world without mutants and the X-Men live in a world without the Fantastic Four.
And what's adorable?
Arm's length.
Can somebody hand me Doom here?
Doom.
This is something I want to illustrate because photos of Doom have surfaced. This is what Dr. Doom looks like without his mask.
Yeah.
He's got a scarred up, jacked up face.
He's not a glow-in-the-dark crash test dummy? Because that's what I've seen.
He's not a glow-in-the-dark
crash test dummy that someone dropped their glow light on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He just leaked.
And the weird little beady,
And I totally am one of those people that the movies do not have to reflect the comics if they are told well.
Yeah.
It's all that matters.
And Fox has never really like followed the comics, but we've still enjoyed the X-Men films.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I said, they're different, but
it's a different medium. So we get behind it. It's like, all right, we'll forgive like that you had to use like not Kitty Pryde, like whatever.
Yeah.
So
that's still one of my favorite comic movies ever made. And
it's
nothing like Days of Future Past. So I'll be, and that's Fox. That's like every time people are like, Marvel must pay these guys. I love Fox's things when they do it right. It's not by the studio. It's by the talent involved.
Exactly.
And the cast for Fantastic Four is incredible. How they could have been in another movie.
Well, so that brings up an interesting point. A lot of people have tweeted at me saying like, hey, so now that the movie's going to bomb, do you think that Fox will let the rights lapse back to Marvel?
I think we need a...
I'm going to say no. As much as Marvel would love to get those back and maybe get Galactus and the Skrulls and whatever else, I don't think that Fox is going to let them go because they've got such an amazing cast. So I think what they'll probably do is be like, look, here's the origin. You get it. We can just jump into the sequel and just let it kick ass with a different director.
They had set a date up and everything already. Like, they'd planned this.
The fact that they knew what they had, they knew that they had a stinker and they still set up a sequel, that to me says, we think that we can work with this cast. We think that if we had a better director helming it, or someone that we had a better relationship with. So, like, I think there's been rumors that, like, Singer is going to come in and do the sequel or whatever else. So
he's their Whedon.
I'll
fix it. I'm sorry.
But if it's that bad and they go that far off of the mark, which it seems kind of like they're going,
That with Wolverine Origins, guys. That movie was.
The Wolverine was fun.
I hated the Wolverine.
Oh, I
liked the first two acts of The Wolverine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't great, but it was better than Wolverine Origins.
Oh, it was far better than Wolverine Origins.
But yeah. we've all forgotten that movie.
They've also made... I mean, Fantastic Four got a sequel, mm-hmm. you guys. Rise of the Silver Surfer happened. We don't want to admit it, but that happened.
It happened. Like, it was awful.
And the first one wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid we're going to get Paul Blarted. Like, I'm just afraid a movie with 10% Rotten Tomatoes is going to do well because America is questionably taste.
Yeah.
Like, I worry that there's people in mid-America that are like, yeah, Flame Boy! And it's going to do well. Like, I'm worried that it's just going to tie into... the simple-minded comic fans more than, like, the diehard fans, and then we'll get a generation of movies that aren't good and are comic movies.
Well,
we'll go back to, the 70s, like...
But Marvel, or Fox is picking up, I mean, what they're giving us with Days of Future Past and what we're seeing out of Apocalypse is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it in, like, 2 seconds. Deadpool is going to probably be, like, what I'm just going to say, it might be my favorite comic book adaptation of all time based on what I've seen. And that's not a lot, but that's a lot to go on.
Yeah.
I feel that Fox is realizing, okay.
We need to go this direction.
Yeah, we got to get this tight because people are taking these movies seriously now.
Yeah.
We need to find a happy medium.
Fantastic Four is made right now. No, please. Fantastic Four is right now. It's not like this was, like, a 10-year... Like, they knew movies were getting better, and this is still made in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Avengers already happened. We've already had Marvel show them how it should be done. And then still, like, what happened?
Yeah. What were you going
to
say, April?
I think they need to find a happy medium. Like, they need to find that, like, okay, we're not just trying to get, like, you know, a bunch of other people that are like, oh, I kind of like superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but not ignore the diehard fans that, like, you know, love the comic books and stuff like that. Like, there is a happy medium there that you can totally ride without going completely in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
So
I would love if Brad Bird directed it because The Incredibles is already a Fantastic Four movie.
Exactly.
Action now.
I was just going to say, somebody, and I don't remember who it was, tweeted, like, guys, we already have a great Fantastic Four movie. It's called The Incredibles.
Yeah.
And Brad Bird's doing live action now. Get Brad Bird and that cast together. Fantastic Four 2, here's my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
okay. All right. Let's get on to good things, please.
Jump over to Fox doing it right with Deadpool.
Woo-hoo.
You guys have fun.
There's a shot in the Deadpool trailer where he gets shot in the arm and looks through it. And that moment alone is worth waiting the years we've waited for Deadpool to exist.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And him singing on the bridge. Like, there's just every moment in that trailer. I remember being on the show and saying that I thought 80% or 70% of the SDCC stuff was good. I think they fixed all of my problems. The pacing feels better. The jokes feel funnier. Like, everything just, it feels perfectly succinct. I think that this might be the best comic adaptation of all time, like you were saying. This is potential to be an A+.
Yeah.
I know you're a Deadpool fan. I'm not going to rant forever.
Oh, that's okay. No, I'm super excited about it. I've read a bunch of the comic books, and it does go a little, like, random. That's one thing I'm slightly worried about is that I'm like, please, please, please don't be, like, you know, an hour-long fart joke.
Mm-hmm.
But from all the stuff that I've seen, I mean, it really, like, I'm interested in the characters. Like, I think the whole story arc is looking really good. And the jokes are, they hit so well.
The pacing's a lot better in this trailer. And the fight choreography is incredible.
Nice.
Jumping out of the SUV and that spin looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the costume, how it's perfect in every shot. Like, in motion, it's even more amazing somehow. That trailer is literally, I've watched it so many times, and it's better than any comic movie I've seen in a long time. It's just a trailer.
And it's just a trailer.
Yeah.
Like, it has so much potential.
Well, it's got potential, but it's also, like, it's got fans who made it. Like, Tim Miller, like, the fact that Tim Miller and Ryan Reynolds cried when they saw the suit. Like,
I think we cried when we saw
in 24 hours shows that when you have fans make something, fans respond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they love the source material.
Yeah.
They know it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we'll talk about this, well, screw it, we'll talk about it now. Like, the fact that they're already talking about doing a sequel with Cable. Like,
God, that one,
amazing.
The scene with Cable when he comes, or not Cable, Colossus, excuse me, he comes in, I'm like...
And he's like, he's a grown man, Colossus. Like, he's already an X-Man, he's already got the suit, he's like a 40-year-old beast of a dude. Like, I love that Colossus is just like...
Yeah. So, somehow, somewhere, someone give me a magic now. Give me Iliana.
Oh,
because we have Colossus, and I want Iliana, and I want that.
Well, and by the way, talking about Iliana, just to throw this in, that would be like Fox's answer to Doctor Strange,
because
she's
that's true, absolutely.
Like
she's
if Doctor Strange does really well, like she's training, she's been mentioned as a possible.
Okay,
well, she's even training under him.
With
the last run before we did Battle World.
Mm-hmm.
But just you know, my things real quick on the Deadpool trailer. what I love so much, and Marvel's done a great thing where they've taken this comic book thing and made it reality. All their costumes look very, like, yes, they're iconic. Yes, mm-hmm. they're kind of, you know, what man really walks around in, like, a red, blue, and white, right. you know, armor suit. But these are superheroes and their symbols. Deadpool makes it comic book real.
It works.
Yeah. I mean, this is a... all intents and purposes, a spandex suit,
yeah.
and it works so
like,
well.
That guy walking down the street, you're just like, that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
But he's crazy because he's Deadpool.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's just something about like that, almost like how fictional and cartoony the suit looks in the real world that works mm-hmm. so well for yeah. me.
And the matte coloring makes yeah. it look always almost CGI, which is even more amazing than it's not.
Yeah.
Every time he moves, you can't tell what's CG, what's him, and yeah. it's mostly him. And I loved his makeup. Like,
yeah.
He looks oh, amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Wade Wilson all like yeah. messed up. Was
when he looks like an avocado. Avocado that oh, had yeah. sex with an older avocado.
Yes. I was actually worried about what they were going to do with the makeup yeah. because if mm-hmm. you've read the comic books, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
They can take naps.
But in the comic books, it's like, depending on the artists, mm-hmm. like, you know, you get all sorts of different renditions, and I was really afraid that they were going to go like Jackie Earle Haley and like the new Freddy
Krueger.
Oh,
yeah. yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, yeah. the nose is basically gone. Yeah. You can almost kind of see through the flesh apart.
He
and it's
works.
Like, it looks like Ryan Reynolds, but he's scarred up and like, and
super,
I'm just like,
yeah.
good. You can still, like, he's still a person,
and,
like,
and we get
you know,
to
like
see,
recognizable. Like.
Yeah, and we get to see pre-cancer scarred Deadpool. Yeah, you know. So.
Yeah, and the chronology in the movie apparently jumps around a lot. Oh, I was doing this interview. Ooh. Empire had this interview, yeah. which I actually don't recommend you read. I stopped reading it three blurbs in because it gives away so much.
Mm. Does it really?
I read three sentences and was like, I don't want to know this, and I can't wait for this movie. Tim Miller talked to Empire and broke down it shot by shot, but it's so revealing. So I'm just gonna say
probably because yeah. he's so excited about it.
No, I don't.
Like,
yeah. him. I'm just, yeah. I was, as a fan, like, I don't want to know. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
But he talks about how the chronology jumps around, and that first time we see him pre-scar isn't the first time we meet him, and the timing nice. Is, like, over the yeah. course of, like, 5 years, and it plays.
That I can
wow.
see.
So that's interesting.
But that's going to work well with, given the character and the breaking
oh,
of the
yeah.
fourth wall. I think that's mm-hmm. going to actually mm-hmm. craft
he
a good story.
He can bring us on the journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deadpool can tell me about Deadpool in a movie.
Yeah.
It's true.
So exciting.
I think it's going to be so interesting to see how they deal with that whole breaking of the fourth wall and stuff, because they only, like, show little bits of it in,
very
like, the preview
glimpses,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, Wade Wilson never breaks the fourth wall. Only Deadpool does, which I also love. That when he puts on
wow.
a mask, that's when he's talking to us. Everything I
yeah.
learn, the more excited I get.
Yeah. Well,
and
but,
the violence,
but,
my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, so bloody.
But I want to go back to what you said real quick. We do see him kind, like, marginally break the fourth wall, but in a very meta way.
The Green Lantern?
When he says,
yes.
please
oh,
don't
yeah.
make the super suit green
or
animated. Like,
yeah.
So, like, even then, the movie is self-aware.
And he talks about that in the interview, how that was the closest they got, and they were worried, but the joke was so funny. There's also apparently a 20-minute rant about Green Lantern to Colossus.
Oh,
so Deadpool,
yes.
there's a 20-minute rant of Deadpool in Deadpool costume talking about how bad Green Lantern was to Colossus, and he's like, I don't know if I can use it, but it's going to be on the DVD, because
yeah.
clearly Ryan had some therapy to work out. So there was 2 days of them filming where Ryan Reynolds was just upset about Green Lantern getting out of his system. Maybe just during the interview, it's fine. Yeah, it's insane.
Oh.
Oh, I want the director's cut DVD right now.
Yeah,
right now.
February so, soon, guys.
Well,
oh my god!
Let's talk about let's talk about Colossus real quick.
Yes.
Like, he looks so good.
Oh
like,
my god!
Like, in fact, I believe
Colossus
it was Matt Cook
yes.
tweeted out Colossus ticket bot. Like, that's all he said.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, Colossus
yeah.
is his like
he's
Deadpool or Doctor Strange. Like, he's a giant Colossus fan, and yeah, I mean. That's Colossus.
That's Colossus.
No, it is.
And I mean, we can't really see the colors very well, but like he's got like the kind of like dark red and black.
Yo,
like,
I didn't notice
X-Men
it.
Suit.
I didn't notice
it. Oh, you didn't notice it was in the X-Men.
I didn't realize that
yeah.
in the trailer. I just noticed
yeah.
that now. In the
he's full on an X-Men suit, you guys.
Yeah,
and they did it.
Guys.
No, and but that means like he's in the X-Men.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
X-Men
no, he's
exists.
In the
X-Men
world.
Exist
yeah.
in this world, which
yeah.
means that Negasonic is probably like I think
she's
I remember reading something
on.
Like
she looks different. She's in a different costume.
Yeah, but I think that like she's training with Colossus to be in the X-Men.
But wait, wasn't Negasonic part of Emma's?
She was.
Yeah.
But, they
yeah.
don't
but
have
I mean, they're
going to
change all that.
No, but I'm just saying that could tie into her TV show. I'm just saying.
If they
said
it were Emma Meredith, she's a loser.
I know.
Yeah.
She's excited for that moment.
Yeah.
I don't
you,
blame you.
Well,
it's
you,
exciting.
I mean, that's
I
like
Emma's your Deadpool.
Emma's my Deadpool.
I get
so.
It. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And if on the subject of magic, mm-hmm. I think Saoirse Ronan would be an awesome magic.
Yes.
Yeah, she would be.
Yes.
She would be amazing.
I want her as Jean Grey, so now they can use
yeah.
her as magic.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
I think she would be better.
I think so.
Yeah,
she has that
magic. And Negasonic is apparently like just. deadpan the whole time.
Yeah. Eyebrow man.
I love her.
But look at that.
Look at that. That's so awesome. Perfect.
Like, and like making her, like giving Deadpool a telepath.
Oh, dear.
That is deadpan.
A little goth.
Especially
girl.
A young one. It's like, oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
This is going to get bad quickly.
Do we have that that thing I sent you?
We do.
Do you? Okay.
Take it. Take it and run.
So in my 14th viewing of the trailer, I noticed that in the beginning of the trailer, you see Ryan Reynolds in a tube going through the Weapon X program, and it's like when he's transforming, and you see the lady here in the same tube, so I'm wondering if they kidnap her and this is how Copycat is born.
Oh.
It's very quick. It's very small. It's very quick.
Yeah. I didn't notice it until you pointed it out to me yesterday.
Dude, I probably watched a feature-length version of the Deadpool trailer by watching it enough times because I'm so excited.
I love you.
But yeah, if you look off to the side here, so clearly she is taken and maybe transformed, and that's how we might get Copycat, which is a great way to say, you know, he wants to do right by someone. So this could be, that whole narration could be later in the film.
So you might actually get to see like a legit Copycat in the movie.
Third act would be great.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. As long as they don't third act the Wolverine us and give us a crazy like Viper, which was just ridiculous. But I don't think they will. They know better. They learned.
Yeah, they've learned. They've learned.
And, they look so good.
And it's not the studio. It's like the fans who like Ryan Reynolds and Rhett Reese, who's a giant fan.
And like, they made this for like $8. So like hopefully the studio doesn't have too much.
Oh man,
like,
they're gonna make their money back on the first day.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's gonna show them what an R-rated thing can do.
Yeah.
What fans can make if you let them have a little bit of freedom. I think this might be the anti Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. I think this might prove that, you know, letting them have a little freedom and not trying to tie it so into the universe that you lose your creative, like, output, this might be the best thing to happen in comic movies.
And I do wish that Fox would figure out that they don't need to have the Fantastic Four to have an extended universe.
No, X-Men is huge.
Yeah. X-Men is
bigger than the
massive.
Avengers, arguably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's massive. Yeah. Like, they could do two films a year also.
Oh, easily. Mm-hmm. And a TV show. And it all tied together. Yeah. And keep the cast. And signing people for nine movie contracts. Yeah. Just make it awesome. Make it
unique. Like, so let Marvel have Fantastic Four back. You guys can have the X-Men. It's fine.
Such an extensive universe. There's so many characters. Yeah. It's just nuts.
Marvel, Avengers, Fox, Mutants.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah, done. Exactly.
Done. I'm fine with that. They have the Inhumans.
Here's
Take
your billion-dollar industry. Just do it right. Have an R-rated X-Force after this. There's your team-up movie.
I want that. I want X-Force as a Netflix show because there's so much to be done.
I'd love a cable Netflix show and then an X-Force movie because that way you have a bigger budget.
Oh,
that's
like
what I do. Next all as a cable and Netflix and then time into a movie.
Okay. All right. Because I do want to get, because I, you know, just me, I want to get to the point where we get that like Madeline Pryor.
Yeah.
I want that Nathan Summers birth. I want, you know, the Goblin Queen. I want all that crazy.
It's so crazy.
It's so crazy. And it's so extensive. Nuts. You could really go forever on this. So, and I think Fox is realizing it, and they're doing great work.
Well, I think Deadpool is going to be kind of a bit of an awakening because they didn't want to do the movie for so long.
Yeah.
And now that they're doing it, it's the best thing they've got going right now.
Also, if this goes really as well as we think it is, there are so many characters that you can bring to this. Because Deadpool, like, I'm sorry, is there a corner of the universe, like, of Marvel
he
has not been in?
Yeah.
Like, this is such a great opportunity to introduce characters, to, like, bring in fan favorites. Like, you know, there's so many crossover possibilities
that Wolverine.
It's just like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
it's going to be
I think they're going to make this their cornerstone of the mutant world, and then you can tie it into the new team of mutants. You can tie it into, and you can just have Deadpool pop up and here's my money, and that's a lot of people I can see. So I think it's a great move in losing Hugh Jackman and getting Ryan Reynolds.
That's
awesome.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
So we've only got a couple minutes left. We need to do 5 stars. Do we have any shout outs?
No one shouted out. No one. I know. No one talked to me.
Shout out to Ryan Reynolds. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. So before we move on to 5 stars and all of that stuff, do you have anything else that you need to say about Deadpool? I'm giving you the chance because I know this is your Doctor Strange.
If
so
it's just
I want you to
as
take
good
it.
As the trailer, if it's only as good as the trailer, I can die happy. That's all it needs to be. And I want to thank everyone involved for it. And I give full credit to Ryan for keeping it made.
You okay?
Someone just died
in there. Don't okay.
He got excited about Deadpool. So I just I think it's gonna change the comic genre, and I haven't said that since Winter Soldier.
Well, just the fact that it's rated R is gonna change the game.
I think this is the biggest change since X-Men came out in 2000, as far as just tonally shifting. I just think it's gonna be as influential as Winter Soldier, which got us a whole new Marvel universe with the Russo brothers. So I think this is the 2000s X-Men movie happening to the comic genre now before it pops, and it's amazing. Thank you, Fox. Thank you so much.
I totally agree. Do you have anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, aside from Deadpool himself, like, I'm excited to see all the other little characters, like Weasel, for instance.
Oh,
like,
man.
In the comic books, he's kind of like, he's kind of, you know, he's always getting kicked around and stuff like that. But TJ Miller is a force to be freaking reckoned with, if you guys saw that Comic-Con panel.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, right up there on par with, like, I am so expecting them to just see them just kick the tar out of each other with just insults. And like, I'm like, how much are they going to leave in? How much are they going to cut out? It's going to be nuts. Like, and I'm excited to see what they do with that character, because he was always there, but not like this.
So prevalent.
Yeah.
I want a 4 hour director's cut. I don't want all the takes.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
I
want every single take.
Footage.
Yeah. Blind Al looks great.
Blind Al looks amazing.
And she's got all the sass and just like, Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm very excited. All right. Well, Coy, do you want to give us our 5-star reviews?
Kyle Ruffin, thank you for the 5 stars. I am also from Boston, so if I'm ever in Boston, I'll be visiting home and saying hello to you. The Pros, Cuddo, Ian Tolland, Karan Horn 15, Mad Denny.
Mad Asgard, Denny.
It's M.A.D.N.E. Asgard and Hubua. Thank you guys for your lovely reviews.
Wait, was Asgard and Hubi? Are those
separate?
They're
Asgard
separate.
And then Habua. Okay.
Habua.
Habua.
Asgard and Habua.
All Asgard thinks we should slow down a little, and I'll try, buddy. But I'm excited.
Wait,
I
have a zest all of us need to slow down, or just you?
I love y'all, but the speed needs to slow down. We have an hour, and we have a lot to cover.
Okay, that's fair.
Good note.
That is fair. We've received the note that we talk over one another. Like for you two, I think that works. But for the podcast,
that's fair.
You should probably slow down a little bit.
Except when Deadpool's involved, because I'd get too excited.
And I actually slow down when it becomes Doctor Strange, I think, just because I'm like, no, I'm not trying to milk it. I'm just like thinking so hard about everything that I could talk about that I'm just like, I've got to consider every single thing.
What's the most important at this moment?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, and we have no shout-outs.
So, we don't have any shout-outs, but I found this interesting thing that my friend screen-grabbed and posted, and it's, I was trying to find it on Haley's Twitter, but maybe they deleted it, I don't know. But apparently, there's a screen-grab of Haley Atwell talking to The Rock, saying, hey, can you follow me so I can DM you? I want to ask you something. And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson responds with, you got it, Peg.
That's awesome.
Is the coolest thing in the world to me because, one, I love The Rock, and you understand this.
Oh, I get it.
But
oh, yeah.
He totally gets that she's Peggy Carter. Mm-hmm. And if we all know that Dub Smash Wars is about to go down, can
if
you.
If they get The Rock on Dub Smash,
oh,
I didn't even think of that.
God.
That might be the closest we ever get to him in the Marvel U.
Exactly.
I'll take it.
So that's my shout out to Hayley Atwell and The Rock. Please make magic happen. I love you guys. Also, I just saw Hayley Atwell. I was watching The Duchess, which is a period drama with Keira Knightley, and I forgot that she played the other, like, the supporting female, and I was
nice.
Like, God, everything you do is amazing. Dan
McQuarrie, we just talked about The Rock.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, buddy.
So I do want to say that the winner of our Wizard World question of the month, what is Ant-Man Scott Lang's favorite thing to steal from a picnic, is Ron Pickles Schleimer, who said Janet's restraining order.
Amazing. That is awesome.
Good call. Oh,
so
my
cute.
God.
So, Ron Pickles, please please send us a message over Facebook through our fans, fan site here.
Yeah.
And give us your personal email. We'll respond to you and we'll work all of that out. Ron,
nice work, Ron.
Ron, yeah. Well done. Ron just won 2 free tickets to any Wizard World in America that's happening this year. We can get him through the doors. But we can't give him room and board because we're poor.
Yeah.
But he can go. We can get him in the doors, and he can enjoy the entire weekend there no matter what. Wizard World is where pop culture comes to life, and they're our prize sponsor. So I have to apologize to everyone. I forgot to compile all of the David Bowie answers, but I do know that we've got Brandon Simmons, who said that he should be the Beyonder. We've got Alan Chisholm, who said that he should be the Grandmaster. And Reed Gibson said he should be Star-Lord's father.
Oh.
Yes.
Which I would love.
Oh,
but,
my God.
I will compile all of those next week. I apologize. But that means that that question is still out there. So tweet at us and find us on Facebook and give us those answers. And we'll compile them all and announce it next week. So anyway, that's our show. Coy, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Everyone that gets upset when I'm negative, I want to apologize in advance for when I inevitably talk about Fantastic Four Back from Vacation. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Meredith, do you have anything?
Yeah, a couple things. If you guys want to come out and hang out with me and talk cosplay and comics and stuff, I'm going to be at the Amazing Houston Comic Con on September 4th through the 7th. I know that's also Burning Man weekend and also Dragon Con weekend. Mm-hmm. But if you happen to be in Houston, I'll be there. And then 2 weeks later, I will be at Hawaii for the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con, the 18th through the 20th. That's going to be super awesome.
Jealous.
With Stan Lee will be appearing as the guest of honor. So I'm super stoked about that. Yeah. And then I also, my day job, I work for geek.com, and I just published the 11 Dragon Ball Z moves that can double as sex techniques.
Oh, dear.
You might want to go check that out. I'm pretty proud of that one. So,
you should be proud of that one. That's a fantastic one.
I thought I saw you talking about that on Twitter just a little bit. I'm glad to see that's what it was.
With, like, comedic writing. One of the things I want to do when I moved to LA was actually take some like comedy writing workshops. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet, but I did my first funny post and I'm
fantastic.
I want people to read it. Please.
Get
to
juggle some Dragon Balls.
April, do you have anything?
Thanks for having me.
Yay,
thanks for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'm excited to have you.
I'm like, I get to talk nerdy on the podcast.
You're welcome back anytime. If there's anything that ever comes up that you just have to get something off your chest, let us know.
Well, now you might have to delete my number or block me or something because you're not going to be able to get rid of me.
What's your book series again?
Oh my God, I forgot the name of my own book all of a sudden. 13 Offerings,
awesome.
Tales of Etheria. It's part of a much bigger series that will be coming when I can afford to get everything edited.
But we can get that on Amazon?
You can find that on
Amazon.
Great.
You can also just look on my name there. It'll pop right up.
Cool.
Great. All right. Well, that's our show. Special thanks to our prize sponsor, Wizard Rule Conventions, where pop culture comes to life. We've got, they've got Chicago coming up on April 20th through the 23rd. Then San Jose, they'll be in California, September 4th, 5th, and 6th. And then they're going to Pittsburgh to the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, September 11th, 12th, and 13th. So make sure to check them out. They have a great show. I bought my shirt there. My Captain America shirt.
America.
Well, and I'll just tell you guys, if you want to go, head up that Chicago one that's coming up.
Oh,
Everyone is talking about that.
One. Jeremy Renner's going to be at that one. Yeah, I think Peggy Carter.
Yeah, Haley's going to be there. Yeah.
I saw Mission Impossible. I just wanted more Renner.
Yeah.
It was I love Tom Cruise, but I just wanted more Renner.
Yeah.
And that's a
great sign.
I just sat on the back of a bike with him once.
With Jeremy Renner?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was a little awkward because I was standing in for Rachel Wise on that one Bourne movie they did. And I was just like, they're like, no, grab onto him. And I'm just like,
but it's Jeremy Renner.
But it's a bulldog.
Hey. He's just looking at me. He's like,
it's okay.
Go for it. I'm just like, okay, cool. I have tons of awkward stories like that.
Yeah. Well,
never
next
interested.
Time. Please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes. We're at Marvel Movie News. Rate us. Leave us a comment. If you give us 5 stars, and you mean it.
Yeah.
Then I will pronounce your name.
Yeah.
I also read the 4 stars that are not just aggressive, and the 1 stars I read, I just don't comment on.
Yeah.
And also, guys, if you tweet at us, I will give you a shout out on Twitter. You got to say, like, I want a shout out. Like, a lot of people tweet things. Really mean things. So
everyone
I don't
that's been picking up
that.
Comics lately, like we've gotten a few people that are picking up new comics. People, that's amazing. I love that you guys are like learning new comic stuff.
Yeah.
We're influencing you in a good way. I talked about Acid earlier. I feel like this is the other direction, so it's nice.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that we can like show you guys and guide you on your comic journey. So any questions you have about comics, if you want any recommendations, and just talk about stuff. That's amazing.
We really want to. We never seem to have time to talk about comics.
Do.
So we might try to do like a once a month where we get together and do like a supplemental thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe hang out after the show and try to book some time.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, I think you guys need some... You guys want it. So we'll give you more comics.
Yeah, we've got to figure that out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I just appreciate it. It's cool.
Know your comic book history.
Yeah. So find us on Facebook / Marvel News Show or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. We do try to get to all of those as best as we can, but we've got busy weeks and busy lives. So forgive us if we're a little slow sometimes. But we do pay attention. Anyway, that's our show. I'm Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco.
I'm Coy John Rowe.
And special guest,
April Wallin.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Woohoo.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.